by some type of authority. I stand in this pulpit this morning to preach and to declare the Word of God to you, and I don't do it on my authority. I do it on the authority that God has given me as a pastor, as a minister, to declare and to proclaim the Word of God to you, His people. And so this morning I want to look at that supreme authority that we have in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you would, turn with me this morning to Colossians chapter 2. And when you find that, if you would just stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespass, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which is contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Father, I pray today, God, as I try and explain and discern Your Word today and communicate it to Your people, God, in a fashion that they would receive, not from a preacher today, but from Your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that Your anointing would be upon me, Lord, to preach and to teach and to declare Your Word. And I pray Your anointing would be upon every person in the sound of my voice today to receive from Your Holy Spirit, Your Word today, that lives will be changed and transformed, that not one person can leave this place today the same spiritual condition that they entered into this place. By Your authority in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The people of Colossae, the Colossian church, those folks were Gentiles, so it means that they were uncircumcised, but that was not the cause of their spiritual death. It was the uncircumcised sinful nature that made them dead in their sins. And if you go back to Deuteronomy in chapter 16, or chapter 10 and verse 16 in the Old Testament, you'll read where Moses told the people that therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. There's something of this word being stiff-necked that is an intriguing word. It's a challenging word. We're unyielding, unable to give in. And this morning, in our praise and our worship and in the presence of God, I feel like the Lord was calling us through what maybe I was saying through the Holy Spirit, that we're to be stiff-necked no longer. If we have aught against our brother, if we have aught against our sister, if there's a problem that we haven't dealt yet, if there's something that just keeps rising up, how many of you have got things that over and over, it just seems to rise up? God is wanting to deliver us from those things. God is wanting to set His people free. God is sick and tired of you and I being sick and tired. God is trying to bring His people to a place of submission, not to a church, not to a ministry, but unto God. And God is calling us from the pulpit to the parking lot. He's calling us to make changes in our life. Listen, if you're satisfied with where you are spiritually, you probably need to check some things out. You need to take a look at your heart. Maybe your heart needs to be circumcised again. I know we don't like to talk about that word circumcision. Being circumcised, it conjures up all kinds of bad imagery. But God is calling us, His people, to circumcise our heart, to get a fresh, new picture of our heart. The tenderness and the newness of your heart is what He's looking for. God required all the male Israelites to be circumcised, but He warned them to go beyond performing the surgery to understanding what the surgery represents, what the surgery means. We need to submit to God on the inside, in our hearts, as well as the outward showing of the act of circumcision on the body. So they could begin to imitate the love of God and the justice of God in their relationships with others. And if our hearts are right with God, then our relationship with other people could be made right too. How many of you just want to walk in right relationships? Listen, it might cost you the discomfort of going to somebody and dealing with some things. Here's the thing. Oftentimes when we have to deal with something like that, it's because I have something against them. They don't even know. For 11 years, I carried anger and bitterness and resentment in my heart against a group of people. And this year, I went to confront that group of people because I'd had it. And bless God, I wanted my pound of flesh. Come on, somebody help me right here. I mean. And when I went, I found, and he was just here, Brother Thomas was the first person, and I already shared all this, but not all of you was here and heard it, so you just had to bear with me. And I said, I need you to pray for me because I'm here to get some answers. I'm here to confront some people. And he said, leave it alone. Let it go. I said, I don't want to. I said, I want some answers. Don't leave me hanging, folks. I've got things in my life that I mean, for 11 years I've needed some answers and I haven't gotten them. He said, just give it to God and let it go. I hate when that happens. But I did it. But I did it. And my life has not been the same ever since. And at the end of that period of time, when I was in the presence of that group of men, at the last service there was an altar call, and it was powerful, and the anointing and the Spirit of God was in that place, and the pastor said, I don't normally do this. He was actually the president of the organization. And he said, listen, I know we're all pastors here, but maybe you're here and maybe you've felt like giving up. Maybe you've felt like quitting. Maybe you've felt like throwing in a towel. Maybe you've felt unheard. I want to pray for you. And so I turned to my wife. I don't even know where she is. She probably run off. And I turned to Tammy and I said, are you going with me? She said, you're on your own. You're on your own, man. It wasn't that she wasn't supporting me. It was that she knew I didn't need any distractions. And I went. And God began to minister to my heart. And every one of those people that I wanted a pound of flesh from surrounded me in that moment. I had not said a word to them. Every one of them surrounded me, laid hands on me, and individually came by and prayed over my life and prayed God's blessing. And I turned to them and I said, listen, I just want to ask you for forgiveness because I've held bitterness for 11 years in my heart against you. They said, we didn't even know. And I said, I know you didn't know, but I knew. And if you're the only one that knows, you still have to deal with it. That's my point. If you're the only one, see, we need to submit to God on the inside, and then we can begin to imitate the love of God and justice in our other relationships. If our hearts are right with God, our relationships will be right. God came to restore and repair a broken and a severed relationship between sinful man and a holy and a righteous God. He didn't come to establish a religion. He came to restore relationship. That's what He's all about. That's His whole life. And when our heart has been cleansed and you've been reconciled to God, you will begin to see a difference in the way you treat others. I'm living proof of it, folks. I'm living proof of it. See, if you don't see a change, then maybe you need to revisit your own heart. Maybe you need to get under the scalpel of the Holy Spirit and say, search my heart, circumcise my heart, make my heart fresh and new, O God. Look at verse 17 of Deuteronomy chapter 10. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Listen, God is not going to make a deal with you. He ain't into let's make a deal. He's already set the deal. And if you want to be a part of the deal, you submit to the terms of the deal. And that is come clean. That is submit unto God. That is to be quick to forgive. In saying that the Lord was God of gods and Lord of lords, Moses was distinguishing the one true God from all the local gods. Listen, there's all kinds of stuff around that we can worship. Hello. God is a jealous God. He is going to He will allow you to worship none but Him. He's a jealous God. Moses carries it a step further and calls God mighty and awesome. And He is. Listen, if you know anything about my life, you can automatically you realize and see that He is a mighty and an awesome God. Because if you knew me before Jesus, and now you know me now, you can tell that something happened and it was something I couldn't do. There's something about being born again. There's something about surrendering our life. There's something about saying, God, man, I want my pound of flesh. But God, I'd rather be in pleasing in Your sight than to have my flesh fulfilled. That's why earlier I said we cannot and should not and must not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if I would have fulfilled the lust of my flesh that said I'm going to get my pound of flesh, then I would have done damage to myself, my ministry, my anointing, my authority in Christ, and a group of other people that didn't even know there was something wrong if I would have just went and spewed all over them. We got to come to a place, church, where we, and ladies, you're just going to have to suck it up right here, but we got to man up. We got to man up, and I know that that's not a feminine sounding thing, but listen, when God talks about men, the children of God, and being men of God, it's not gender specific. He's calling us to a place of holiness. He has so much awesome power and justice that people cannot stand before Him without His mercy. Church, there's coming a day when that eastern sky is going to split, the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those of us that are left here on this earth are going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. And if you don't know Jesus, when that trumpet blows, it is over. It is too late. What is it in your life that is worth more than settling the issue? Listen, I was on drugs. I've taken drugs, chased wild women, drank, and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. I didn't think you could have fun. I didn't think there was any way you could have fun without drugs, alcohol, and wild women. Got two people in here. What a relief it is to find out that not only can I have more fun without all of that, I can actually remember the fun. You get so wasted or so drunk, and you just, I'm living the dream. I don't remember what I'm doing, but I'm living the dream. I spent 3 days looking for somebody that busted me in the mouth and cheap shotted me. My lips, when I woke up, were stuck together from dried blood. I was mad. Well, I was mad. I'm going to put a whooping on somebody. You know what? I did it. Because, you know, when you're drunk and stoned, things don't move and work like they really should. How many of you have ever experienced close fellowship with a solid core door? I'm in the right place. Listen, a solid core door, they don't move as fast as a hollow core door. And if you happen to run into one of them, you're going to budge. It isn't. And I jerked the door open and smashed my face into it. That's how I ended up wounded. I spent 3 days looking for somebody that I was carrying around with me. When you figure out that you can have more fun under the anointing of God and the presence of His Holy Spirit, it will change your life. I don't have to feel guilty about being in the presence of God and being moved by His Spirit, because it is mighty and He is awesome and He has so much power. See, when we finally grasp the extent of God's mercy towards you and I, we will begin to see what true love is and how deeply God loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean to tell you, that's a good thing. His mercy towards you and I is unlimited. Woo! And although your sin and mine deserves severe judgment, God, listen, how many of you realize God makes choices? God chose. He chose deliberately, Ray, on purpose. He chose to show love and mercy to all that seek Him. Church, that's the message of the cross. That is the message of the cross. Let me tell you something. God loves you just the way you are. How many of you are glad about that? He loves you just the way you are. I just set you up. I set you up. Because it's true, He does love you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you there. He wants us to draw closer to Him. It is a reminder that you and I deserve the misery, literally the brutality of the cross. The cross was not some nice, listen, the cute little pendants that we wear around our neck, that was not the portrayal of the cross. The pictures we see of Jesus with a crown of thorns and a little scar on Him here and where somebody's put some cuts on Him that's not a depiction of what Jesus Christ went through for your salvation and mine. It was brutal. But His love for you and I, because of it, He bore the cross Himself. That is love. If you've got ought against somebody, if you've got hardness of your heart, if you've got an issue with somebody, and you can't reach out and you can't deal with those issues between you and them, if you can't put those things behind you, you are not walking in love. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to get freedom and liberty in your life and in the life of the church. Moses told the people of Israel to circumcise their heart. He wanted the people to go beyond physical surgery. They needed to submit to God in their heart as well as their body. If you're not happy with what Moses had to say, maybe you'll like what Jeremiah had to say. And Jeremiah echoes the same teaching in chapter 4 and verse 4. But I want to bring it into context. So I want to go to verse 1 and read through verse 4. And this is what it says. How many of you know when you see the word if, you have to pay attention? Because if brings with it a choice. If brings with it a choice. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him they shall glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground of your heart, and not be sown, and do not sow among the thorns. Circumcise, there it is again. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Woo! See, throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, God consistently has revealed His intentions to bless the nations of the world. And His global vision included the central role for the people of Israel and the channel through which God would pour out His blessings on all nations. Our salvation came through the children of Israel. The privilege as chosen people for the children of Israel was in jeopardy as long as they insisted on disobedience and idolatry. Church, I know culturally it's okay. I know culturally it's really, in a lot of ways, the norm of the day. But see, God doesn't change with the culture. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He said to the children of Israel remains true for you and I today. Amen. What He said to the children of the disciples that He called to Himself, that followed Him all over, those things did not change. And He said that there to be one man and one woman. He said in Genesis, one man, one woman. He made them male and female. I've raised a lot of cattle in my life. I've raised a few horses in my life. I've raised some pigs. I've been around sheep all my life. I've hunted the mighty wapiti. Woo! If that don't get your blood flowing, ain't nothing going to. Do you know that I've never seen a transgendered cow? I've not. Not one time. And as stupid as sheep are, I've never even seen a transgendered sheep. You know why? Because God made them male and female. Amen. Not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. And it ain't going to change just because the culture says it's okay. Well, do you love those people? I absolutely love those people. God absolutely loves those people. But He loves them too much to leave them in that condition, because that condition will stop them from entering the kingdom of heaven. We can't be shacked up with this one and that one and expect the blessings of God in our life. Culturally, it's okay. Culturally, it's accepted. But God is not a God of culture. God is a God of correction. And God is calling us out to be a people pure and holy, ready to do what God wants us to do. I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but I'd rather have you uncomfortable in your chair today than uncomfortable in the gates of hell. Church, we gotta come out from among them. The Bible says that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. Too much of the church looks just like the world today, and we've got to change that if we're going to be victorious. Hallelujah. We've got to. We've got no choice. Jeremiah told the people to plow up the hardness of their hearts, and as a plow breaks up the unplowed ground and soil has not been tilled for a season. Good kings, like Josiah, had tried to turn the people back to God, but the people had continued to worship their idols in secret. God's Holy Spirit is the revealer of secrets. His Holy Spirit is a revealer of secrets. Their hearts had become hardened to the will of God. We've allowed our hearts to become hardened by the trials of this life. Unless our hearts are broken and cleaned up, the good seed of God's commands cannot take root. Old habits and hidden sins have to be uprooted and rejected. Church, again, we need to pluck them up and cast them out. Amen. Pluck them up and cast them out. Don't allow it. Listen, if something goes wrong, if something goes haywire in your life, don't allow a root of bitterness to begin to grow. Because here's the problem. Roots will produce fruit. And bitterness will begin to just ooze out. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. Pluck it up. In the same way, we must remove our heart-hardening sin if we expect for the Word of God to take root and grow in our life. Can I tell you, church, God loves you. God loves me. God loves this ministry. The devil hates everything about us. And he will use anything and anyone that he can to bring division and discord in the family of God. God loves us. God has a purpose. God has a purpose for every one of you this morning. Every one of us, He has a purpose. He has a plan. Romans chapter 2 and verse 29, Paul teaches the church in the Romans that he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. People were spiritually alive, or were physically alive, but spiritually dead. Hey, buddy. See that? That's the way we ought to be running to God right there. I love unprovoked illustrations. When we come into His presence, we ought to run just like that kid to the presence of God. Did he even have his little hands up? I hope that burns in your mind. The people were physically alive, but spiritually dead. We can think we're okay and be rotten to the core. God can change all of that. To be a Jew meant that you were in God's family. You were an heir to all of His promises. We have been grafted into that promise, church, as children of God. We've been grafted into that promise. You have, as a child of God, you have an inheritance. Who's still working? I was just checking. We have been grafted in. Paul makes it clear that membership in the family of God is based on internal, not external, qualities. Remember what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, to anoint the king, and the first one of Jesse's sons came. Samuel says, "Surely this is the anointed of God." A big strapping lad, good-looking guy, built. I mean, he was, and the Lord said, "No, that's not him. That's not him." Remember that the Lord looks, He does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Listen, you can look as good as you want and not be any good on the inside. How many of you have ever gotten an apple? I love apples. It's a good-looking apple. I mean, there's not a blemish on it anywhere. You're like, "This is, oh, son." You polish that dude up on your shirt. Make it shiny and glisten. You know what I'm talking about? Put that dude up to your mouth and take a big bite out of him. It's like biting into a sponge. How many of you know what I'm talking about right there? Out the window that dude goes. It is spent all, and I'm spitting what's in my mouth out. I'm not even going to dignify that by swallowing it. It's out. Look good on the outside, but inside just mush. Nastiness. All whose hearts are right with God are real Jews. That is, they're part of God's family. Listen. Oh, boy. Attending church, being baptized, being confirmed, being accepted for membership is not enough. Just as submitting to circumcision was not enough for the Jew, God desires our heartfelt devotion and obedience. The cross is the sole hope and means for full reinstatement to relationship with God and rulership under Him. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, and it applies here. He said, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in this world." History is filled with stories of groups of people who've hated one another for one reason or another. We've got the Hatfields and the McCoys. Amen. We got the Hatfields and the McCoys. In Ireland, they have the Protestants versus the Catholics. In Bosnia, it's the Serbs versus the Croats. And there's no love lost between first century Jews and Gentiles either. The Jews considered the Gentiles little better than dogs. But here Paul tells the Gentile Christians to remember what it felt like to be treated that way. Remember what it feels like to be treated that way. To be seen as unworthy outsiders. He told them not to return the favor. And he called on them, and he's calling on us today to remember where and what they were when God found them. Remember for just a moment what it is that God brought you out of. Remember what it was. All Christians, including us, should extend that grace to others. Even former antagonists. I looked up the word antagonist because that's a big word. And I went to South Umpqua on a good day. An antagonist is a person who actively opposes or is hostile to someone. That's an antagonist. Anybody experience any of that? Anybody? Settle down. A person who actively opposes you. Think of what would happen if we took Paul's admonition to heart. See, as Christians, we have a new nature. We have a new nature. The Bible says, behold, the old things pass away and all things, hallelujah, all things become new. John and Kathy, you can come to the platform if you would. If you're here to be baptized, now would be a good time to go and prepare for that. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We can enjoy our new life in Christ because we have joined Him in His death and resurrection. Our evil desires, our bondage to sin, and our love of sin, church, died with Him. Joining Him in resurrection life and having unbroken fellowship with God and freedom from sin is our goal. When we feel weighed down by a load of sin, church, remember that your debt of sin has been paid in full. Your sins have been washed away. They've been forgotten and forgiven by God. You are clean and you are new. Today I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Nobody looking around. This is a personal time. If you're here today, it might be your first day. It might be your first time even in church. But today, if something of this message has challenged your heart, if the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that you're far from God, let me put it this way. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if Jesus came today to rapture the church out of here, to bring an end to this age, do you know in your heart, without question, that you would go with Him? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you drove out of our parking lot today and got T-boned by a truck, and it cost you your life, and you were killed instantly, do you know that you know that you know that you would make heaven your home? If you don't, you're in the right place. Because as I've declared the best of my ability today, there is a God in heaven. And He sent His only begotten Son, according to John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, every one of us in this room, everyone watching by way of the internet, you are whosoever, that whosoever will believe in Him, will confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, will submit their life to Jesus Christ, God will forgive them. God will set you free. God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. God will change you from this moment forward. Maybe you're here today and you've given your life to the Lord, but stuff happened. Things got in the way. You got busy in life. You prioritized some things ahead of God. You ended up going down a road that has taken you to a place you really never expected to go. But here you are. You're like the prodigal. You left the Father's house. And you found yourself today in a far country. But like the prodigal, you have come to yourself. You said, if I could just get back to my Father's house, I'm going to see if He'll just allow me to just be an employee, a worker among His people. And to His surprise, when He got home, the Father said, no, that's not the way it's going to be. You're my son. Bring a robe. Put a robe on him. Get the signet ring. Put the ring on his finger. Get some shoes. Put shoes on his feet. This son that was lost has now been found. And that could very well be you today. A prodigal. Today you're coming home. And you want desperately to feel the embrace of the Father. I promise you, church, He's here today to wrap those arms of love and compassion around you, not in a judgmental way, but in a loving way. That says, my son, my daughter, welcome home. I've been sitting on the porch of heaven looking at the last place that where you went around the corner, spiritually speaking, and I was on the porch, I was looking for you. You're that one sheep that I left the 99 for to go and find, and today you've been found. And if you're either one of those scenarios, if you've either never been saved before, or if you've been saved and you walked away from God and today you realize you need to recommit and rededicate your life to Christ. If that's you in either one of them, I'm going to ask you right now, with all the faith that you can muster up, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you and I believe you're here. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to transform some people's lives today. Come on, anybody in this place, I see your hand, sir. You can put it down. Somebody else say, preacher, that's me. Come on. Don't wait. Don't take a chance. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Listen, don't wait. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. I've been too bad. No, you haven't. Come on, man. Today's a day for fresh starts. Well, Pastor, I'm embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. You shouldn't be embarrassed. Listen, God wants to love you. You need to just say, come on. You need to just raise your hand. Let me pray with you. God wants to touch you today. Are you here? Come on. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Somebody else, preacher, that's me. Listen, God by His Holy Spirit is beginning to move in the hearts and lives of His people. God wants to bring you to a place of salvation. God wants to bring you to a place where, I see your hand, sir, you can put it down. I see it. I see it. Somebody else, preacher, that's me. I need you to pray for me. Anybody? Yes, sir. I see your hand. Somebody else, preacher, come on, pray for me. If that's you, raise your hand. Come on. Yes, sir. I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else. God's moving today by His Spirit. Has been all morning. Somebody else say, preacher, pray for me. I need Jesus. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else. Somebody else today say, preacher, I need saved. I need salvation. I was lost, but now I'm found. I want my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anybody else today before I move on? Come on, anybody at all? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need some workers to come. Don't hesitate. I need you.